Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic World.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 229. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, and it is time to take the Disney Madness Annual Tournament Round of 32. Get to the Sweet 16. That's what this is all about. And of course, to help me decide who is going to move from the round of 32 to the Sweet 16. Ed, what is happening, sir?
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is going great. I'm excited to figure out this Sweet 16.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. There's going to be some big-time matchups this week.
Absolutely. We have them this week, and we're setting them up for next week. Jimmy, you are out there as well. What is up, my man?
I am happy to be here. We don't record on Friday nights, usually, so it's a little bit interesting. I have an adult beverage, and I'm ready to roll. I hope my team wins.
That's no different than any other night, I think. But
well,
anyway.
Well, some nights, yeah. Good point.
Some nights. And Lisa? Lisa?
Hello, Lisa? This is Lisa from Boston. I'm driving in my car.
Obviously, Lisa couldn't be with us tonight. Although, Jimmy, you do have her official ballot and her votes, correct?
I do. She sent them over to me, so I will be reading Lisa's votes. I told her I may or may not change one, depending on how the night goes. No, I'm kidding. She sent me her bracket, yeah.
They are in a sealed envelope, and we will hear you open those as we go through here, Jimmy, that's right. For sure.
Yes.
So to remind everybody exactly how this is going to work, DisneyMadness.com, that's where you can vote for your choice for who moves on to the Sweet 16. But the way we're doing it is there are five total votes in the ending tally. Those votes are myself, Ed, Jimmy, Lisa, and you, our Disney Nerds community. So you guys are going to help us. What is the ultimate attraction in Walt Disney World for 2018? We finished the 64 and we've eliminated 32 attractions. So we are now in the round of 32, moving to the Sweet 16. And I guess we should just start it right off with our first match. Our first match pits the number one seeded Haunted Mansion against number nine, the new Mission Space. I will vote first, and my vote goes to the Haunted Mansion. I don't think there's any argument there.
So obviously, I'm definitely going to go Haunted Mansion, and from the team over at Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, they say, Lisa's answer is Haunted Mansion as well.
Ed, can you give us your vote and then round it out with the community as well?
Sure. Yeah, this one was an easy one for me and just as easy for the community. Haunted Mansion for myself, and the community with 93% says Haunted Mansion also.
93%. That's overwhelming. A handful of people thinking Mission Space. I do like the new Mission Space, but not over the Haunted Mansion.
Sweep.
And our defending champion sweeps to the Sweet 16.
Nice. Like it.
That's an easy one. Although a 1 versus 9 is easy, a 4 versus a 5 isn't so easy. So this next round is the number 4 People Mover, or the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, versus the number 5 seated Carousel of Progress. Ed, I'm going to let you start with that one.
Now, this is interesting because every bracket we have a 5-4 matchup. So it's going to be kind of cool. We're going to see this each time around. For this one, I am going with the Carousel Progress. I went with the tradition over the relaxing ride, but both are really good. Now, our Disney Nerds community disagrees with me. 58% to 41% went with the People Mover.
Interesting. One vote each. With that, Jimmy.
I'll go with Lisa's vote first because her bracket is still intact, I think, until this point. Lisa went with the TTA. I did not have in my original bracket, I had Pooh over the TTA. So I'll continue with my original vote, though, of Carousel of Progress.
Two votes each for Carousel of Progress and the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, which puts me on the spot
as the
tiebreaker here.
4-5.
4-5. This one's tough because both of these are great. They're original Tomorrowland. They just scream Tomorrowland. I went Carousel of Progress last week. Love it. Would like to see them update the ending scene. However, I love watching people on the People Mover. I just love going up there, going around Tomorrowland, seeing all the hustle and bustle and what is going on. And because of that, I am going to vote People Mover and agree with the community and Ed that the People Mover moves to the Sweet 16.
There it goes.
Moving on to the next matchup, the number 3 seeded Tower of Terror versus the number 6 Fantasmic. Ed, what's the community think of this one?
Well, they weren't too sure on this one. It was kind of a little back and forth. However, with 60%, they went with Tower of Terror.
How about you, Ed?
I also went with the Tower of Terror.
Jimmy?
Tower of Terror.
And I will go there as well with a sweep over Fantasmic. The Tower of Terror moves on. The number 3 seed, which sets up some interesting matchups. We'll find out in a second. But a tower, you can't go against that. Fantasmic, I'd really like to see some of the loving that the Disneyland version of Fantasmic received coming to Walt Disney World for sure. The next matchup, the number 7 Festival of the Lion King and the number 2 ranked Soarin'. With this, I think, Jimmy, you're going to start.
For me, easy one. I didn't even, I had the land on my original bracket. I had the land beating out Festival of Lion King, so I'll stick with Soarin'.
That wasn't too hard.
That wasn't too hard at all. What's Lisa thinking about this one?
Lisa, I think she struggled with it a little more than I did, but she still went with Soarin'.
Two votes for Soarin'. I think that brings it back to myself, and I also will go with Soarin'.
You surprised me with that one.
Yeah. Did I really? Well,
yeah, I would have thought you went on Festival of Lion King.
Soarin' over Festival of Lion King. I think that if I'm, you know, our rules, if you're in front of something and no line and you can ride either one, I think I'm going to go on Soarin'.
Okay.
Although, you know, my feelings on it, and I don't like the new Soarin', but
that's why you surprised me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Ed?
Yeah, no, I went through the whole thinking process the same as you did. Don't appreciate the new Soarin' as much as I hoped I would. However, if they're right next to each other and it's the last time you're going to go in either one, you have to choose one or the other. I'm going to be going on Soarin'.
Which means, can our community make it a sweep?
And they do, pretty easily. 78% of our Disney nerd friends say the Soarin' attraction.
That's pretty good. That sets up Soarin' versus Tower of Terror next week. That's an interesting Sweet 16 matchup. We'll come to that next week. All right, moving into the Hollywood Studios bracket. Big Thunder Mountain and Muppet Vision 3D. Lisa's going to lead us on this one.
Lisa went with Big Thunder Mountain.
Not surprised whatsoever, and I will also, although, come on, Muppet Vision is such a heavily quoted attraction. Any Disney nerd can just go over the quotes in this thing all day long. All of that said, I also will go with Big Thunder in this matchup.
Totally disagree with your logic at this point for this matchup. Okay. I can go on Big Thunder in a lot of different parks. There, it's a roller coaster outside with some theming. Very cool theming, but still theming. Muppets 3D, Muppets Vision 3D, that's a one and only ride. That's an incredible attraction that you're not going to see everywhere. And even though it hasn't been updated in a little while, meaning the actual film, the potential is still there. And you're right, the one-liners, just the entire the pre-show, everything involved in it just screams at me. This number 8 team is going to make it, so I'm going with Muppets.
I can't argue with anything that you just said, Ed. I love the way you put it. I almost want to change my vote, but I'm going to leave it at Big Thunder.
And
that's awesome.
At our Disney community overwhelmingly also goes with Big Thunder.
The community, Big Thunder, that's 3-1. Jimmy, where do you fall on this one?
Well, I am a little bit happy that the community went before me, and I didn't have to crush. I didn't have to be the tiebreaker and crush you know, Ed's hopes and dreams, but I went with Thunder as well.
Big Thunder moves on 4-1. But Ed, I can't fault you there. I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Next matchup, number 5, Space Mountain, and number 4, Jungle Cruise, another 4-5 matchup. And I believe I am starting this one.
This is a tough one.
This is a tough one. Space Mountain, Big Thunder, Space Mountain and Jungle Cruise. I'm going to go Space, and I'll tell you my logic here. I love the Jungle Cruise. The Jungle Cruise is as good as your skipper. And recently I've had some that I would say weren't top-notch, which has me going Space Mountain just because of that. You never quite know. So Space Mountain for me. Ed, what are you thinking?
I have the same exact thoughts right there. Basically, the last maybe 4 or 5 trips have not been the greatest Jungle Cruise trips. And based on that, I'm going with Space Mountain. Also, again, the potential Space Mountain could become something more. But basically, you know, Jungle Cruise has a lot of lame exhibits that we're all used to. And you're right. It is the skipper. Space Mountain.
What does our community think there, Ed?
They also agree with that at 60%. So it was a little closer, Space Mountain.
Yeah, maybe a little closer than I thought that could be, 60%. Jimmy?
You know, so two things. I agree with everything you say, and I agree that it really depends on the skipper. Although I would never, ever want them to go away from that like they did with the Great Movie Ride, like they did with Living with the Land, where they replace the interaction.
How about Great Animatronic Skipper?
Well, great animatronic. Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. So, because I agree. Sometimes it's kind of mediocre depending on the skipper, but when you get a really good skipper,
then it's outstanding.
It's
and that's why
fantastic.
You keep going on, because you hope you get one.
And I got to go on that for the Keys of the Kingdom tour and didn't get the whole spiel, but the tour guide kind of told you some of the history about some of the stuff on Jungle Cruise. And it's a great ride, but, it's still, in my opinion, it can't beat out Space Mountain. So I went with Space.
Does Lisa make it a sweep for us?
It's a sweep.
It's a sweep.
For Jungle Cruise.
It's a sweep. Sweep for Jungle Cruise, which sets up Jungle Cruise and Space Mountain.
Yeah, sweep for Space Mountain.
And Big Thunder next week, which is interesting there. Ranges over at Magic Kingdom. Moving on to the 7th match, the number 6, Walt Disney World Railroad, versus number 3, Spaceship Earth. Ed, I think you're starting this one.
Yep, I went with Spaceship Earth. The railroad is great. You got the whole history connection with Walt, and there's nice, you know, things you see around the Magic Kingdom. It is still just transportation, somewhat. So I went Spaceship Earth.
How about our community?
They agree. They went with Spaceship Earth also, 67%.
I agree with Ed's decision. However, I disagree with his logic when he said the railroad's just a ride, just transportation. Because I think the railroad in Walt Disney World is so much more than transportation.
So you are a Spaceship Earth
vote. I am Spaceship Earth, and I guess my point is that I've ridden the railroad and just made the entire loop and gotten right back off where I got on.
Sure.
So that would mean it's not transportation because I didn't go anywhere.
Sure. I've done that too, but when you're comparing the rides back and forth against each other, you got to have some type of criteria.
I get it.
And Lisa?
Lisa went with the railroad.
Lisa went with the railroad.
Choo-choo.
Very nice. And I can see why she went with the railroad. I mean, without Walt's Backyard Railroad, we don't have Disneyland. We don't have Disneyland. We don't have Walt Disney World. So I understand the history and I understand what's happening there. But I also love the fact that there's an attraction inside of a huge sphere that's the park icon for Epcot. Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. Even though I don't necessarily think the current version is the best version, I don't think that happens again. I don't think somebody says, let's build this huge geographic sphere with all these different triangles and make it an attraction. Which is why my vote is also Spaceship Earth, and it takes Spaceship Earth on to the next round, the Sweet 16. And Spaceship Earth will face the winner of match number 8, which is number 7, Expedition Everest, versus the number 2, Peter Pan's Flight. And I believe with this one, we start with our community.
Okay. They all went with Expedition Everest, 67%.
Everest over Peter Pan? And I can see that. Jimmy?
Probably the number one queue in all of Walt Disney World. I went with Expedition Everest as well.
How about Lisa?
Lisa went with Everest as well.
Which leaves it back to myself. I am also going to go Everest. And Jimmy, I completely agree with you. One of the best queues in Walt Disney World that probably gets overlooked a lot more than it used to because of fast passes.
Sure. And the lines aren't there as long as they were, especially since Pandora's opened up.
Absolutely. When that opened up, there was no such thing as fast passes, or they were paper fast passes. And that standby queue wraps way back and is themed unbelievably. And you're absolutely right. I completely go with that. Ed?
For this one, I went with Peter Pan's Flight. And if I was to use anything about a really cool queue as far as one goes, Peter Pan's Flight definitely has the vote there.
That's very true.
Unfortunately, we're normally fast passing it, so we miss that incredible queue. But the one or two times we've been through it, it's been pretty cool. And you've got the tradition factor, I think, here also. And to be honest with you, my protest vote is that the Yeti has not moved in how many years. So I want Peter Pan's Flight.
I get it. And you're right. Now that you mentioned the queue at Peter Pan, both the Peter Pan queue and the Expedition Everest crew are both amazing. One interactive, and they're both missed if you fast pass those attractions.
You know, and interesting, I didn't even think about when I weighed that decision, I didn't think about the queue and Peter Pan. I've only been through it once or twice.
That's what I'm saying. We all kind of fast pass.
We all fast pass.
But I had the first time I experienced it, me and Kim actually had a fast pass for Peter Pan, and the wait time was long, but it wasn't as long as it was, like as long as it is normally. So we decided to not even use our fast pass and just go through the standby line just to experience the queue. I wasn't upset that I did that. It was worth it.
Cool.
All right, we will move on to the Epcot bracket. And in the first round, the number one seeded Pirates of the Caribbean, which needs a little longer of a conversation, versus the number 8 Star Tours. And I say that about Pirates of the Caribbean because of the recent updates, which are not part of this voting process. Obviously, we started this ahead of time. So this week, we got the first look at the updated auction scene. I want to say redhead scene, but that's not exactly what you call it. It's the auction scene where the redhead has been somewhat enabled. Have you guys been able to see any video regarding that? And what are your thoughts? Jimmy?
I'm ignoring it intentionally because I'll be there in 2 weeks. So I'm trying not to. I've seen some pictures, but I'm trying to avoid the video because I want to experience it. And if I was 6 months out from a trip, I probably couldn't help myself and I'd have to watch a YouTube video. But since I'm going in a couple weeks, I'm going to hold off and experience it in real life.
I completely get that. Ed, what's your thought on that?
The same thing for me. I mean, we've all heard what happened, how it's the redheaded, well, actually not even just the redhead, it's the entire auction scene is gone. Yep. Where women were being auctioned off for brides. I've been kind of avoiding it too. I'm going to go down there this summer, so I'll see it then.
Yeah, for this voting, that's not, and I really don't know that changing that scene would change much of the overall lore of this attraction or what it is that we love about it. And with that, Jimmy, I think you have the first vote here.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me.
Absolutely, as I expected. And I don't know that changing the auction scene changes Pirates over Star Tours, to be honest.
Yep.
What were Lisa's thoughts here?
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for Lisa.
That's what I expected completely. And that brings it to me. And, you know, I really like Star Tours. Star Tours set the standard for attractions that have the ability to adapt. So it makes it re-rideable. The fact that Star Tours, the adventure continues, it changes every time you ride. You get different segments, different scenes, although they might force the first one to everybody. I love that. And I think that sets some expectations that things like Soarin' didn't live up to, which maybe is why Ed and I aren't really all that thrilled with the new Soarin'. But anyway, all that said, I still have to go Pirates, and it's a Pirates life for me as well. Ed, what's your thought?
Yeah, definitely. Pirates for me. Traditional, it's one of my favorites.
You guys aren't going to sing?
Say it again?
You guys aren't going to sing? I mean, I think I feel like I set a precedent.
We were leaving the singing for you. I hear that's become a thing on the Tuesday Night Live show.
I feel like I set a precedent here for this round, and you guys were supposed to sing.
Well, we'll save it for a different round.
Okay.
And our community, who I'm sure they would be singing if they could, also went with Pirates of the Caribbean with 84%.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. There you go.
And that was tough. Star Tours is one of my favorites, too.
Star Tours is great, and for all the reasons I said. Yeah, I
enjoy Star Tours and go ride it at least once, and sometimes by myself because my wife gets motion sick and won't ride it. But I quite enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a simulator versus, you know, probably the attraction with the most animatronics of any, although It's a Small World's right there probably with more. But there's a lot going on in Pirates and a lot to look at, and there's rewritability naturally in this thing.
When I think back to the thing that impressed me the most in 1986, little 11-year-old Jimmy going to Walt Disney World, the attention to detail and that Pirates ride probably sticks out. There's probably more nostalgia there than most of the attractions in Walt Disney World. The leg. Yeah, the leg. The hairy leg.
Yeah, we can't spend a lot of time on Pirates. My first trip down I was 11 too. And the thing that caught my eye in Pirates that really always stood out to me was the Pirate's leg hanging off the bridge.
Absolutely.
And how realistically hairy that was. It was crazy.
And we will be talking more Pirates of the Caribbean as we move forward in the tournament because it is in the Sweet 16. Moving on to the next match, we have the number five, another 5 versus 4, the number 5-seeded Test Track versus the number 4 Kilimanjaro Safaris. This is a very interesting setup here, and I believe Lisa is going to start us off.
Lisa went with Test Track.
This is going to be close. Go ahead.
I think it is going to be close. That brings it to me next. And I'm also going to go with the number 5-seeded Test Track.
Oh, okay.
Now, that said, that takes us to Ed. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, I am going to be going with Kilimanjaro Safari. And I think that's one of the best attractions Disney's done down there. It is the Jungle Cruise come to life. And every trip through that safari can be different. Granted, it might not be a great trip sometimes, but just the doing it again over and over factor is
crazy.
Yeah,
the rewritability.
Yeah, and not saying Test Track isn't good too. This was really tough because you're designing your car each time. You could change up the design if you'd like. You have that great post-show area. It was a good 4-5, but I'm going with the safari.
What does our community think, Ed?
Now, they kind of went through the same thinking process I want us to go through because it's the closest one I've seen so far. We have 54% going with Kilimanjaro Safari.
Ooh, that is close. 54 versus 46%, which means it is 2-2. And Jimmy, you are on the spot to determine who goes to the Sweet 16.
You know, earlier I said I'm glad it went the other way and I didn't have to crush Ed's hopes and dreams. But I'm happy to crush you and Lisa's hopes and dreams. I'm going with Lil Red. I'm going Safari, baby.
There you go. Nice.
There you go. Lisa and I stand alone and Kilimanjaro Safari moves ahead to the Sweet 16.
I don't think there's a wrong answer in that one. You know what I think probably in my thought process what tipped me more towards Safari over Test Track was how often Test Track is broken.
That's a good one.
Real quick.
I give you that.
Safari ends up always being my number two at Animal Kingdom, it always in, because when Everest came in, became number two. But now that we have the Avatar flight, that's actually – Safari's still my number two. Everest has kind of dropped below even Safari now that it's kind of switched around there. So it's always a great one.
I agree with the rideability. You could ride that. And the same argument Sam made for Star Tours, you can say that for Kilimanjaro Safari.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
All right, moving on to the 11th match in the second round. The number 11, American Adventure, versus the number 3-seeded, Seven Dwarves Mine Train. I'm up first for this one. American Adventure, Seven Dwarves Mine Train. This one's tough because I don't know that either one of these is number one in my book. Although, based on being able to go onto either of these attractions with no line, I understand the queue in American Adventure. I understand that you might even consider Voices of Liberty part of that queue and all of the show elements. If I don't have to wait and I can just jump on Seven Dwarfs, I think I'm going to do that. So I'm going with the Mine Train.
I went with the American Adventure. I thought that is probably one of the best attractions they have in World Showcase. And it really does give a great introduction to the American experience, quote unquote, for people that actually are visiting the United States to go to World Showcase, go to Epcot. However, our friends in the Disney Nerds community disagree strongly with me. 80% say Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
One of my favorite things to do in all of Walt Disney World is watch the Voices of Liberty, which I include that, like you say, as a sure. pre-show. So I went with American Adventure.
And that means Lisa is the tiebreaker and will decide who goes to the Sweet 16, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, or American Adventure. Lisa, what do you think?
Well, let me tell you, as as the guy that's got to read her vote and also the guy that has been that's planning a trip to go with Lisa in 2 weeks and setting fast passes, who I had Lisa tell me she's not crazy about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but I'll be damned if she didn't pick it. So she went Seven against Dwarfs? Me and went Seven Dwarfs. And she just told me not to do a fast pass there because she's not crazy about the ride. So she must hate.
We'll look for an explanation.
She must hate America.
I was going to say. Okay, Lisa, America hater.
America unpatriotic.
Wow. She hates America, hates it this month. Never mind.
Okay, Seven Dwarves moving on. It's awesome.
Seven Dwarves moving on to face off against either the number 7-seeded Star Wars Galactic Fireworks or number 2, It's a Small World. And Ed, I think you were going to start us with this one.
Yep. Now, it's kind of weird to say fireworks over an attraction, but that was relatively easy for me. I picked the Star Wars Fireworks. That's an incredible show. I think it's just the next step forward for this type of entertainment, and you can see that throughout all the parks now. The community, again, always disagreeing with me. However, they went with Small World, 61%. Not as much as normal, but pretty good.
Which makes it 1-1, Jimmy.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world.
And I know
world.
You guys are going to split this vote between you and Lisa.
Yeah, so does Lisa have a vote here?
Believe it or not, Lisa did the same damn thing with that one that she did with the last one and went the way I would not have expected, and she chose Small World.
Wow.
She chose Small World, which means
to count everything she said last week about it.
Absolutely. Well, no, that means my vote for the Star Wars Fireworks makes it 3-2. And It's a Small World where it moves on. So, Ed, you and I stand alone with the Star Wars Fireworks with everybody else over there with It's a Small World.
I feel like I love Lisa that might have been show. Under really duress when she filled out this bracket.
I have no problem waiting 45 minutes to an hour for the Star Wars Fireworks. I truly enjoy that show. Yeah. Watched it in front of the stage last time. Great experience.
Right in front of the theater. Yes, because you see just how clear all of those videos are and how they wrap around the Chinese theater, and it's just cool as can be. And Vader, oh, yeah, I love it. And I'm with you.
There was like four of us.
And nobody's there because everybody's back further to see the fireworks. And I get that too. I understand.
On the other hand, I got the opportunity to interview Jeffrey Sherman, whose father and uncle wrote It's a Small World and had so much connection to that attraction. And it's just classic, classic Disney.
We all give a nod. Every time we're there, we always say, you know, thanks, Mr. Sherman.
Yep. Sure. I agree.
Yep. Absolutely. I hear you.
Okay.
All right. Move into the last bracket, last four matchups. This is number 13 in the Animal Kingdom bracket. The number one seeded Rockin' Roller Coaster versus the number eight Frozen Ever After in Norway. I believe our community is going to start.
Yes, they are. And this is going to be funny because if this turns out that a number eight wins this, especially it being Frozen, we're going to have some issues. Our community definitely didn't want to start on the wrong foot with this one and went with the Rock and Roller Coaster with 69%.
Make it a super stretch.
Make it a super stretch. That's two votes for Rock and Roller Coaster. And where does Lisa sit on this?
Well, I said a super stretch instead of a stretch because Lisa's coming with me.
She's going with you.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So Lisa's also, that means three with two votes remaining. I will also go Rock and Roller Coaster. And that leaves Ed for potentially a sweep.
Sweep.
Rock and Roller. It is. Sweep, Rock and Roller Coaster moves on. Sweep. Although, you know, the one thing that I've ridden Frozen Ever After quite a few times now. The one thing that I keep wanting to see, and I don't know why they didn't leave it in there, right? We talk about the shout outs to the older attractions. The one point when you go backwards down the ride and come around the corner, I'm still looking for the polar bear. That polar bear that stood right there and looked at you when you were in Maelstrom, that could still be there. I want the polar bear to be right there looking at me, coming around. I think it'd be so cool because nobody would get it except for us nerds.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Anyway.
They could have left them like some type of homage to Maelstrom in there. Maybe there is.
Yeah. Well, there's in the queue, there's a call out somewhere, and, you know, there's little things hidden. There's supposed to be something up. There's a – the three-headed troll is somewhere in the queue. I don't know exactly where. That's one of the things, but they always leave a couple of things. But the polar bear's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, they could have put it in an Elsa dress. All right, next matchup is number five, Illuminations versus number four, Splash Mountain. Jimmy, we're going to start with you for voting on this one.
This is tough for me. But I went with Splash Mountain. And you guys know how much I love Illuminations, but I think that Splash Mountain pretty much has everything that a Disney ride should have. It's a combination dark ride, classic dark ride. It's got a thrill with the drop at the end. It's got great music.
Yes, so, all the way around.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
As much as I love, you know, you guys know that Illuminations is in my heart, and it was hard for me to vote against it, but I'd have to go with Splash Mountain.
I get it. What's Lisa thinking?
Lisa agrees with Splash.
That brings it to me. This is a tough one. Splash versus Illuminations. I'm actually going to go Illuminations, and this is more a nostalgic than anything because I don't know how much longer it's going to be there. I love the story of Illuminations. I hate the fact that anytime you're there standing in back and it's going on, when the first fireworks stop and the earth starts to come out in its form and people start to leave because they think it's over, that just kills me. So I'll put my vote for Illuminations, but I like Splash Mountain as well. And with that, Ed?
Right. I went with Splash Mountain, and all those reasons you guys came up with were pretty accurate. My big thing with Illuminations is that they might get rid of Illuminations, but you sure as hell can bet that they're going to bring something in that's going to match it or be better than it. So it's a safe bet to stay with Splash.
And our community.
Yep, also agree with us. Sweep it out with a 75% Splash Mountain.
Well, I stand alone with Illuminations, so.
No, that's fine.
I'm halfway. Right. I'm like 49% with you. That's how. It weighed on my mind, like which one. But Splash is tough as a
It is, and I like Splash. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Splash. When 75% of our listeners vote Splash, I think it's fair to say that moving along is okay. Yep. Not a problem.
Yep.
Which moves us to the 15th match in this round. This one's interesting. At number 11, Finding Nemo the Musical versus number 3, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. And this one is going to start with Lisa.
Lisa went with Fish Are Friends, Not Food.
Nemo the Musical, which brings it to me. I am going to go and be a galactic hero. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. Nemo's awesome. Love it. But I just love the attraction and the ride of Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin and shooting the targets and that stuff. That's where I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. Ed?
I'm going to be going with Finding Nemo. Again, one of my favorite attractions, plays, musicals, whatever you want to call it. Always going to go see it. And Buzz Lightyear definitely is a good one. And, you know, we go on that as often as we can too. But it's going to be Finding Nemo for me. The community, our Disney nerd friends, are in big disagreement with that. And with 78% go with Buzz Lightyear.
Which means 2-2. Jimmy, you are up. What is moving to the Sweet 16?
In the big blue world.
Buzz.
I knew you were going to go that way. Yeah, Buzz.
In the
big blue world.
It's one
to infinity and beyond.
Finding Nemo the Musical is one of my favorite things and most, in my opinion, one of the most underrated things to do in all of Walt Disney World. I will go on it every time.
Yep, very cool.
And that, by the way, is the first upset from our online brackets. That's the first time that three hosts, Lisa and Jimmy, went against myself and the community. So there's what happens there. And the last member of the Sweet 16 will be either the number 10 seed, Avatar Flight of Passage, or number 2, Toy Story Mania. I will start the voting for this last round, and I am going to start with Toy Story Mania.
Okay. So now, I was looking at this matchup and thinking about both the attractions and everything involved. And I got to think that the Avatar got the 10 rating or ranking because it's a new ride. So it was only half a year worth of experiences and hearing things about it. However, saying that, I chose Avatar Flight of Passage. Our Disney friends voted slightly differently, but it was so close. They did go with Toy Story Mania with 57%.
Which takes us to Jimmy.
I agree, Ed, with what you're saying. I think the only reason, and I don't hate Toy Story Midway Mania, other than the fact that my shoulder like hurts when I get off of it. But
it's up to the second time I ride it.
Yeah, so I don't hate it, but I agree that I don't think the polling would be even close, other than the fact that not that many people have gotten to experience Flight of Passage yet. It's absolutely the best theme park attraction I've ever been on, so it's Flight of Passage for me.
Which means Lisa has another tie-breaking vote.
Uh-oh. Small world.
You want me to read it for you?
Sure. Yeah, I think we need it for that last member, but this is close.
One more
this
time.
This is a 2 versus a 10.
One more time. Hold on. Let me tear the envelope open.
Oh, right. Man. That sounded like a bag of chips. Come on.
From the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, Lisa goes with Avatar, Flight of Passage.
Avatar, Flight of Passage takes out the number 2 seed, Toy Story Mania, with our biggest upset of the tournament so far, Avatar, Flight of Passage in the Sweet 16.
That's going to be a 10 versus 11 next week. Wow.
In the Sweet 16. That is very interesting. In a Sweet 16, a 10 versus 11. The number 3 Buzz Lightyear and the number 2 Toy Story Mania both got knocked out. That is what it is. And there you have it. There is our Sweet 16. Thank you guys for listening to Attraction Madness. Remember, go to DisneyMadness.com. You will have until midnight on March the 30th to vote for the Sweet 16 round to take us from 16 to 8 attractions left in the tournament. I hope you can make it. I hope that you can vote because your vote does count, as you can tell from the tiebreakers that we had happen here. Remember, there's no losers.
I just want to say, if anybody's really upset about the way we picked, I completely understand, and we want to hear about it. So email us at sam@thedisneynerdspodcast.com.
Absolutely. Well, in some of those cases, if you look at the way that we got here, there were a couple of upsets. But make sure you keep voting, and make sure you're listening to next week's show when we cut this down to 8. We only disagreed with our listeners twice, and that was the last two polls, which were Finding Nemo over Buzz Lightyear and Avatar over Toy Story, which was our number 2 and 3 upsets. But moving on, next week will be Avatar versus Finding Nemo. Really cool. Make your vote matter. Head to DisneyMadness.com and share that as well.
I really think we got the last one right. I think I agree. I think, going back to what Ed said, I agree. I think it's just not enough people have experienced Flight of Passage to vote for it. I think in a year from now or 2 years from now, there's no doubt Flight of Passage is probably a number one seed in the future.
Definitely. And the only thing I could think would edge that guy out then would be the Millennium Falcon ride over at Star Wars Land.
Well, that would change everything, right?
Will change that
will
the
absolutely
world.
Change everything. But yeah. Along those lines, I don't know that I agree that's how it'll go longer term. I think that, but we have the movies that are coming out that might change the perceptions and send more people here. But you're talking about an attraction that had consistently long waits and they had increased capacity 50% at Toy Story Mania.
True.
Versus Avatar Flight of Passage, which is an attraction that once you do it 2 or 3 times, it becomes the old Soarin'. And I already did that. Nothing's changed. It's the same thing.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's an experience. Don't get me wrong.
75 minute plus lines all the time. So that has to say something.
Yeah, and that's why I say let's wait 3 years. But what Avatar has coming for it is the fact that there's movies in the queue that are going to be out soon that could just send more and more people to this area.
Well, but they, you know, you talked about Soarin', or you were making the point about Star Tours, how they can change the film and change and gives it more rewritability. Same thing applies with Flight of Passage. They could be in the works to adapt that film to one of the newer movies and change a section of that out and make it different than what it is now, because it's just a film.
It's just a digital movie, right?
Right. It's way more than that.
Although I don't remember many breaks in it. The thing Soarin has going for it that you think they would use, and the thing Star Tours has, is those natural breaks where you have mini segments that are inside the larger film.
Sure.
Where Flight of Passage is sort of one big ride through, isn't it?
Yeah,
not
sure.
That they can't do it.
No, it's an on break thing. And that, actually, not to go too much in depth, is what kind of ruins Soarin' for me, is those breaks between their scenes are cool the first time you see it because it's unexpected, but are so horrible after that.
Yeah, they're a little
so obvious what they're doing, and it's very computer controlled. But we don't want to go too far into this.
No, not now. We'll save that for another show, because I think we might have some other interesting things happening here on the team. Ed, you're pretty close to planning a pretty exciting trip, or pretty close to taking a pretty exciting trip, I should say.
Yeah, I know. It's been a couple weeks of some quick planning, trying to get ready for this trip. We're going in a couple days, actually. We'll be heading to Paris. And the first time.
So wait a minute. Stop. Say that again. Slower.
We'll be going in a couple days to Paris.
Exactly. That's just cool. Come on.
The one in France?
That's the one.
Yeah, not the one in Epcot.
No, I'm hoping to see a full-size Eiffel Tower. That's on the list.
Very nice.
You're
going to
be
nice.
So disappointed.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking early on? Have you – obviously, you're going to head to Disneyland Paris. Early on, any thoughts or anything that you know you want to do, or are you still just going to experience this as it goes?
Well, it's going to be – there's no really choice other than experience it as we go. However, I have been doing a little bit of research as far as the park goes, And the best I could equate it at this point is that it is really kind of a duplicate of Disneyland California. A lot of the things are very similar from what I saw. And again, be interesting to see how similar and how different also. The hotel, totally looking forward to it. The descriptions I've gotten is that the Sequoia Lodge is very similar to the Wilderness Lodge over in Walt Disney World. So really, really looking forward to that. And I might have mentioned it before because we're excited to find this out, but they have a indoor pool at the lodge. So we're definitely looking forward to that.
That is something you don't find in Florida or in California for that matter.
No, no, not at all.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably cannot find a Grand Marnier orange slush across the walkway from the real Eiffel Tower.
But, I would have to agree with you there. You could probably ask for it in that great American accent, but I don't think you want to.
No.
That's good. So, Ed, it looks like Sequoia Lodge is a Disney resort. Looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Disney resorts there attached to the park.
There is. Actually, they mentioned 7 of them.
Oh, Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, the Davy Crockett one is pretty cool because it's kind of like in the outskirts. Like, they don't even have a shuttle, or the shuttle is a different type of shuttle than the other ones are. And the other thing that really struck me is their main hotel, the Disneyland Hotel, is the entrance to the Disneyland Park. You walk through the hotel to then get to the turnstiles to get into Disneyland Park.
That's so pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
The other thing that made me think of California was the design of it is that you have the Disneyland Park there. You have Walt Disney Studios right off that same main courtyard. Almost identical to Disneyland California. They're not across. They're a kind of L. And then you have their version of Disney Springs. I forget what the name of it was.
It looks like it's the Disney Village.
Right. There you go. And a check of the stores real quick. They've got a World of Disney. They've got a McDonald's. They've got a Planet Hollywood, which would be probably, worth the souvenir. Planet Hollywood Paris or Euro Paris.
Sure. And I see a Rainforest Cafe, too.
Right. Now, the parks close at 10 or 8 o'clock. I think studios close at 8 o'clock every night, and the other park closes at 10. So we're probably going to definitely hit the village and just to keep the night going.
Sure.
The Sequoia Lodge and those closer resorts, it's pretty cool because it's as if you leave Disneyland and you go out toward the buses, and as soon as you get to that main drag, that's where those hotels are. So 10 minutes, 15 minutes walk, or you can take a shuttle.
There's a shuttle. I'm looking at a map, and I couldn't quite tell if there was a boat or if that's a shuttle or what that is that gets you from the Sequoia over to the village, which looks like you walk through the village to the park entrance.
Yep. It does look like they have a shuttle. And actually, as you're walking across the Sequoia, you're walking across the main train station. A lot of the Disney Village and a lot of those other things are located on top of the train station that comes through there, the main line.
Very nice.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff is really cool. I can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. So how many days are you staying?
We're going to be at the Disney Hotel 3 nights.
Okay, so you're going to hit both Disneyland and Walt Disney Studios.
Oh, definitely. Now, they both have night shows, so it's going to be pretty cool in that regard. They've got a Star Wars show over at the Hollywood Studios. They do it on the backdrop of the Tower of Terror, so it's definitely a cool thing to see. I'd like to see the model maybe come down to Florida. Although what they have going pretty much is pretty cool.
Yeah, this looks really interesting. The Tower of Terror is basically right in the middle of the park. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can get to see Lights, Motors, Action again. This is where that was imported from once upon a time. Rock and Roller Coaster is right next to that. It looks like a Catastrophe Canyon still there, for crying out loud. That's kind of cool.
Now, and I'll take video of this. I'll try to figure this out. And I accidentally watched some Rock and Roller Coaster video. The scene in the studio is different, so I can't wait for that.
Ooh.
Looks like they're designing the roller coaster, the band, is with some engineers. So I can't wait to get in there and get the full story of that.
That's kind of cool. You have a Crush coaster over there. It's interesting because I look at the map and I see what's there, and I think of all the rumors of, oh, this is going to come to Hollywood Studios, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And Crush coaster was one of those.
Right, Ratatouille? Gonna be able
Ratatouille?
To get
that. So we'll be coming.
And then the another major thing that really sticks out so far as looking at these parks and figuring out what to do is the Disneyland Park is the park that has the least amount of attractions or rides of all the parks in the world. But what they do have are a lot of walkthroughs. I'm just amazed at all the different walkthroughs they have of like exhibits or displays, things like that. Here's an example. The castle is when you go inside the castle, you walk through the tunnel. You can also then go upstairs to the second level, which goes around the entire castle with all the stained glass windows. And supposedly they have different things you can read up there and look at. But it makes it a little bit more of an experience. What was the other thing that really stuck out? Oh. And then you get to go downstairs under the castle. Mm. And it's a really cool walkthrough, and you get to meet the real owner of the castle. So hopefully, fire-breathing dragon. Hmm. We'll see what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The layout here is very interesting, too. I can't wait to hear your post-trip analysis, because Big Thunder looks like it's right in the middle of the Jungle Cruise, and you go underwater to get to the thing. It's wow. Yeah.
Hope and I had to take a look at Google Earth to check out where you got onto it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little crazy there. And you have an Indiana Jones roller coaster over there. It's a small world. Looks beautiful. Hyperspace Mountain. I'm jealous. I want to ride that bad. I never got to do that at Disneyland.
Now, Hyperspace Mountain is right next to the Star Tours ride as far as being designed that way, which is pretty cool.
With a huge X-Wing. That might be, you know, similar to what we end up getting in Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw it somewhere where they have an X-Wing inside. It was like this big, long room, which I'm not sure yet what that's going to be, but we're going to be looking for that. So, I mean, some of these things are sticking out. And there's the other side of the coin is just the things we have to learn, like how to get from De Gaulle Airport to the resort. It has some type of magical express, but not quite exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Sounds more like a Mirrors type thing that the resorts sponsor. So, you know, we're trying to figure out some of these things, too.
You pay for it, or you think it does it sound like it's complimentary?
Oh, no, we paid for it. We paid for it and scheduled it already.
Gotcha. Okay.
What else? The resort reservation method was pretty close to Disney World, California, the process of them getting information to you. You need to bring the letter with you, and you're going to get all your stuff when you check in, park tickets, things like that. Now, very much looking forward. I did my research on Buzz Lightyear to see if theirs is any different on getting yourself to the 9999.
Sure.
You looked up, you looked up cheats.
Yeah. Well, cheat codes, we all do.
So, no, definitely looking forward to it. There's a lot of great stuff. One of the other walking tours that I think is going to be exceptional is right under or next to Space Mountain. There's Space Mountain, which is you're going to walk through the Nautilus. And what's doubly cool is you're going to see in the Nautilus the organ that the captain played in the movie, ooh, which is actually a replica of the organ. Because why, Jimmy?
Because the original organ is in Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
Exactly. And all the other Haunted Mansions are duplicates of that organ. And then they're going to have a duplicate of a duplicate in the sub. So
a duplicate of the duplicate. That's funny. Now, speaking of mansion, by the way, that brings up Phantom Manor, right? No,
down. It's down. It's down for refurbishment. I know. That was the biggest hit. Now, and that brings up another point as far as planning a trip to Paris. They have the same exact weather I'm experiencing here. Oh, well, not as bad. They didn't get the snowstorms. But their temperature is about 45, 50 degrees or their highs during the daytime. Nighttimes gets down to the 30s. So that is a big difference because we haven't had a winter trip down to Florida in a long time that even have a chance at those temperatures. So I'm looking forward to having a cool trip in the parks. It could be really interesting.
It sounds great and something that we will obviously be waiting in anticipation for your reports, your audio, because this is something that we'd all love to do at some point.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to try to do as much as I can. If there's any chance of Wi-Fi, we'll see if I can go live on it. That's going to be debatable. We'll have to see what happens. We'd be very careful. So really looking forward to it. My son's birthday is going to be a couple of days beforehand. And it's going to be a really, really fun trip. So a couple of days. That's like in a couple of days from now.
Do you have a birthday button from Walt Disney World?
No, we don't. We're bringing him an Eagles shirt, though. Eagles Super Bowl jersey.
I wonder if...
That's the birthday gift.
When are you leaving?
Does he know that? Is he going to listen?
Too close. No.
Like, I couldn't get you one. I think I have a birthday button. I couldn't... If I shipped it tomorrow, you'd get it Tuesday or Wednesday?
wonder if they have birthday buttons there.
Sure, they do.
Wouldn't it be cool to wear one from Walt Disney World?
Oh, absolutely. Completely agree.
Oh, and so,
I understand what you're saying.
And the other side of it is I'll be bringing some, not that anybody in France listens to us, but we'll be bringing buttons and stuff with us to kind of hand out just for the hell of it. And it's kind of weird because you won't even really have any T-shirts or showing off logos just because hopefully it's going to be cool enough to be wearing jackets. I'm so looking forward to this.
Buttons would be a great idea, though.
Yeah.
Especially, well, you know, especially for like cast members. Well, especially like for cast members and stuff. They're great to give out.
Is it safe to assume like pin presses and or pin trading and penny presses are a thing there?
Pin trading, yes. Penny presses, no.
No.
Supposedly they had a couple, only a couple penny presses at some nostalgic place. Now it's their Euro coins.
Okay.
And, I don't know the exact process of it, but because I can't plan it beforehand, I don't have to worry about it, and we'll figure it out when we get there.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I definitely checked into that. That's definitely a good thing to know about. So very fun planning for it. I'm totally ready to go and looking forward to the trip. Can't wait.
Ed, we will look forward to hearing from you from Disneyland Paris with some live audio that will be on the podcast, I assume. That'll be awesome. Lastly, Jimmy, I think there's some specials going on at Walt Disney World that a travel agent like yourself might be able to help us out with. What's happening?
They just recently – I know everybody right now is waiting for free dining to come out in the fall. And if it's going to come out, it's probably going to come out soon. But Disney just announced some offers for – some discounts for the summer travel. Clients can celebrate an incredible summer with a fun-filled family vacation package. With the offer, a family of four can enjoy a package that includes a four-night stay in a standard room at Disney's All-Star Resort Hotel and a four-day Magic Your Way base ticket for as low as $21.33. Sample package is valid for stays most Sundays through Thursday nights, June 11th through August 30th. This offer is good to book through May 22nd. And then they also had another offer that just recently came out as well. It is called Kids. Clients can get a free dining plan for their kids ages 3 to 9 when they buy a non-discounted 3-night, 3-day Magic Your Way package. And the kids, that includes a room at the select Disney Resort Hotel, theme park tickets, and a dining plan for arrival most nights, May 28th through August 30th, when they book through August 1st. So that's another summer offer. And again, that's a free dining plan for any children. So if you're traveling with more than one children, it's probably a pretty good deal.
So yeah, it's free dining for kids.
Pretty much.
Okay,
and
sure.
During the summer, which is odd because they don't really do any. Typically, they don't do any type of dining offer till the fall. So if anybody wants more information, they can contact me directly. onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com, but you can also send a private message to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. I get those. Well, we all get them, but I will definitely see it if you send one over. If you need a free quote, free no obligation quote, or you want to book your trip, Once Upon a Time Travel is a fee-free travel agent, so we don't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything extra to book with us as opposed to booking with Disney directly. And I always keep my eye out just in case something comes out that might save you money. I know.
Testimonial.
There you go. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. Once we heard that Toy Story Land was going to be opening on June 30th, I booked myself a trip for 3 days in July. And that was probably like, what, a month ago now? So I get a call from Jimmy. Hey, my travel agent's calling me to tell me that they have these new deals in the summer, which you just talked about, and saved me about $123. Now, what's cool about Jimmy is that he's going to check out the best options. So now I was staying at the Pop, and it didn't really apply there. However, it did at some of the other All-Stars. And with the move, which really isn't a big deal, I love the Pop, but I also like saving $123.
Yep.
So we're going to be at the parks a lot for those 3 days that we're going to be down there. And I didn't think that was going to be too big a difference. And so, yeah, thanks, bud.
You're very welcome. That's part of what I love about doing what I do is able to help save people money.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you guys for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Remember the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, DisneyMadness.com to vote in the round of 16 tournament, the Sweet 16. With that,
I am Sam from Sam's Disney Diary.
This is Jimmy. Make sure to check out our live show every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page.
Okay, guys, and this is Ed. Keep living that Disney dream. We'll talk to you next week.
Quaharini.
Congaloosh.
Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people.